This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Been There, Done That with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Good afternoon, Gordon.
Good afternoon, Chris.
And Phil.
And good afternoon to both of you.
And good afternoon to Phil as well. Yeah. So we're all here, all together.
And lovely to have you with us here on the lovely radio day.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Thanks indeed to Tim for the news. Oh, yes, a little bit of an announcement there. This is the 20th year that Tim has been doing news here at Joy. 20th year this week.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. So it's a wonderful contribution to the running and the of Joy.
He always comes in with a smile on his face, does Tim?
I know that smile. I think it's what he's been up to.
Oh, is that what it is? Is it? Okay, yes. Well, we've all been up to things in our lifetimes, haven't we?
I've noticed he's not very consistent.
Why?
Well, every time you hear the news, it's different.
Oh.
Oh, well, there you go. So thanks very much, Tim. 20 years as well as today's news.
Well done.
Thanks indeed too for Lana for the morning show. And thanks to Tina on the desk.
Yep.
It's very good.
Yeah, we've got a full crew on today.
We love our volunteers here at Joy because Joy is a community radio station, mainly volunteers on air.
Yes, there's about 300 volunteers or something like that we have here at Joy, isn't it?
And a couple of times we have paid people, but they're not paid to be on air. They're only paid in their other job.
You occasionally hear them on air, though.
Oh,
there's a few of them here on air.
Even the big boss gets on air.
We keep everybody happy. That's the main thing.
Now, on today's show, because we're talking about history, we'll be talking about lots of gay history, straight history, technology, in fact.
One of the we've also got a birthday boy we really should mention,
too. Oh, I think we should mention the birthday boy. Who are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of a bloke from Tenterfield, actually.
Oh, right. Okay.
Who was part of a duo when I very first saw them in black and white television.
The Allen Brothers
about. That's right.
And they weren't brothers.
They weren't brothers.
What?
No. Chris went off to America very early after they broke up and became a pilot.
And the Peter, other person is the other, Peter.
Peter stayed in the music industry and just kept going and going and going. And a great, great talent, is our Peter. And sadly passed away.
Well, he did in 1992.
Yeah, 18th of June 1992.
But he was born on this day in 1944. Yep. But his last performance was on the 26th of January 1992 in Sydney. And he died about 6 months later, 5 months later in June, from AIDS-related throat cancer.
That's right, yeah.
And, of course, his imagery continues with us to this day. I think a couple of days ago, or a couple of shows ago, when we were talking about Australia Day, we mentioned his song, I Always Call Australia Home.
Still called Australia Home.
As sort of our second national anthem.
Right.
But of course, he's been represented again on the stage with the Boy from Oz, and how many people have actually earned a living off
his songs.
Off his songs and also reproducing those stage shows.
Yeah. Wonderful. I've saw him many, many times when he was performing here in Australia.
And of course.
And actually was down at the Palais Theatre when I was working there and saw him every night.
Yeah.
Marvellous entertainer. Absolutely 110% every night, even when he was not well.
And, of course, he was married to
Liza. Liza with a Z.
Yes.
Lisa Minnelli.
Thank you. Is that where Lisa Simpson got her name?
No, she's Lisa Marie Simpson.
Oh.
So you make the connection.
Yes, oh. Yes.
Well, I don't know all my US characters. Is there someone in there from the Presley family?
That's right.
That's Lisa Marie is the only child.
Yes, that's
all right.
Right. Yes, that's Elvis's only daughter is Lisa Marie.
Married Michael Jackson, so that just shows that all is not well.
What a confusion. What a confusion indeed.
Oh, well, that's the way the world, isn't it? It's very confusing. Even here in Australia, we've had some confusion over the last week.
Oh, indeed. We've gone to the moon and back, and so has Savage Garden here on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Chris Gordon and Phil.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that. Joy 94.9. Mm. I read a news report a couple of days ago which disturbed me a little bit until I actually read a little bit further into it. But apparently Finland is considering scrapping cursive writing lessons, sparking a discussion about the future of handwriting in classrooms. So there's two subjects here, cursive writing and teaching in classrooms.
But they're also going to, aren't they substituting it for touch typing or automatic touch typing?
I think that is part of the curriculum automatically.
They're going to do that rather than teach children how to write. I would have thought you really do need to be able to write. How are you going to sign your signature? How are you going to sign your name to anything?
Well, true.
So we'll have 2 hours and a tea instead of the 3 hours.
Mm. How are you going to write notes if you haven't got a device with you?
That's right. Yeah.
You still need to, but I suppose you can print. But then that would denote the level of education that you've got.
But then you'll have to learn how to print. So if you're going to learn to print, why don't you learn cursive as well? Because cursive leads to printing.
But that's what that's the second part of their heading here. In classrooms. So this seems to be a subject that will be dropped off the classroom curriculum and will be left to the parents
again,
to teach.
What do you send your kids to school for?
Well, precisely.
This whole underground industry set up and kids will learn to do cursive on the street.
Gee, then they'll be having... they'll have the cursive police around, will they?
You know why they name people from Finland Finnish?
No, because they're finished.
They're finished with technology if they can't write.
Well, yeah, that's right, yeah.
But how do you order your new iPad?
Well, only on a device.
Only on another one. But to me, if you can't write, how do you, you know...
Well, I suppose they probably said the same thing when typewriters were invented all those years ago, mechanical device. There's something at the end of writing, pens and ink and everything, but they just modified that and became... Mr. Bick graciously invented the ballpoint pen.
What was in my youth in primary school.
Yes.
We learned how to write with the ink and the nib and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, pen and nib.
And then these horrible Bic ballpoints came out and the teachers were up in arms. And we don't miss the ink.
But ink was always good because you stick the girls' pigtails that be sat in front of you into the inkwell. Oh, that was what you did in those days.
Well,
before that, of course, they had slates with a bit of chalk.
Things do move along.
And that's the way they learnt to write on a slate with a piece of chalk, and then paper was invented, or the process of making cheaper paper.
So I suppose this is what we talk about being progress.
Mm.
And, the typewriter came out from sort of considering how a piano worked, because there the hammer, which was pushed down by the keys, actually struck the strings.
That's right. Yeah.
And the same mechanical action was used to have a letter on the end of
the
hammer.
Yeah.
And then the QWERTY keyboard actually came to be because all the keys were arranged in a circle or half circle, and so that they didn't keep banging into one another, they had to sort of space the letters out
the
keyboard.
They had to, because the vowels are the things that are most normally used, they had to separate them so that you don't have the A, E, I, O and U together. They had to be separated so that you would never bang the two of them together.
Well, you never want a blockage in your vowels, do you?
No, a blockage in your vowels would
be horrible.
Very good. You can't have a vowel blockage at all. But they invented something for it, I tell you,
yes.
And that was the QWERTY keyboard.
But likening the keyboard to a piano, I could never get a decent tune out of my keyboard.
Couldn't you? No. I always got a clack, 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 clack.
With a ding on the end?
Yeah, with a ding on the end. And then when the roller went back, it went...
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We're giving our age away. We're talking about typewriters, aren't you? Oh, dear.
But, you know, all these people have invented these things. Mr. Edison, on the 11th of the 2th, 1847, he was reputed to have, at that point in his life, 1,093 patents.
Yeah, he was quite a clever kid, because when he first went to school, the teachers didn't want to teach him because they said he was too slow. He was addled. He was no good at all. So his mother, who has been a school teacher, took over and she taught him at home. And he goes on, and when he was 13, he invented his first thing. And
so you teach to his strengths,
yeah,
instead
yeah.
of trying to get him into the rigid school system. Way of doing things.
Yeah, yeah. So she floated it around. You know?
But he could have been autistic or on the autistic spectrum, as they say these days, which, as you said, the mother was able to. She already knew his strengths and weaknesses, and then played to them, and that was good.
But today, the trend seems to be if you don't fit your cookie cutter mold,
yes,
then you're seen as defective in some way, and they'll give you a pill to either speed you up or slow you down.
Yeah,
sort of like they're stealing the individual.
And
some kids are just going to be different.
Well, of course, all children are different. We're not like automatons.
Not yet,
robots.
We're not yet, no,
but we could soon.
We'll have little chips in our hands soon.
Well, there's one bloke walking around Melbourne who's already got a chip in his hand. I've heard about him.
Oh, what about the one, the chip on his shoulder? Oh.
I know a guy who's really well balanced. He's got a chip on both shoulders.
And there's a new word in the lexicon.
Mainstream.
No, Wexter. Can you tell me what a Wexter is?
Something that's between Wex and Ter.
Do you write graffiti with it?
No.
If you can't say texter.
Well, thank you. No, a walking texter.
A walking texter. Somebody's walking in the street texting.
Yeah. You know,
they're the ones.
They're the ones that you want to bump into.
No, they're the ones with the Band-Aid on their forehead.
They keep
from hitting those signs.
Yes, that's right. So beware of Wexters.
That's right.
So the life goes on. The world changes.
It's amazing how it just keeps happening. Everything is changing. But
the poor old Mr. Leonardo da Vinci, he invented a lot. But see, patents weren't invented at that stage. So the number of his inventions was never recorded numerically.
He was almost pre-inventing, though. He had all these concepts, like the helicopter.
There first.
But he couldn't build any of them.
He couldn't build any of them because he didn't have a motor.
Well,
but
he had the technology.
Yeah, that's right. He had the concept of what could be done, but didn't have the ability to make it work. But
and Mr. Edison was lucky because he had the rudimentary technology.
That's right, yeah.
And no one else had thought of the stuff yet.
Yeah. But see,
so he's either a genius or he just got in early.
One of the things we were talking about before was the Walkman, the radio.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that soon.
Well, we'll talk about that after we've had a piece of music.
Okay.
But just talking about nature being there first, maybe. Last night on TV, I saw David Attenborough, and he was showing us how dragonflies and butterflies actually flap and actually get lift and forward motion and hovering and even flying backwards. And they're things that we now see in helicopters. But the technology has taken so many...
Harrier jump jets.
Yeah.
So if only we could have found a way to militarise butterflies.
God, you could have had...
We might have won the war so much sooner.
Sort of, yeah.
That would have been really pretty.
With little bombs attached to them.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, hello.
Suicide butterflies.
Oh, well, I think some of those things are flying over my car when it's parked in the driveway. I get up in the morning and there's all these little yellow dots everywhere.
Yes, that's digital. You find somebody who can read them, there's one hell of a message in there.
I think it's some flies flying over saying, crap on you, and Mr. Shiny Car.
Well, there you go. You see, you shouldn't have such a shiny car. If you had a dirty car, you wouldn't see them.
Birds are paid by the car wash industry.
That's right.
It's a big conspiracy.
Yep.
Well, you know, perhaps we should be grateful I haven't had the dust storm that happened in 1983 here in Melbourne on the 8th of February.
That's right.
And that was a huge dust storm that blacked out the sun and blacked out the sky.
That's right. I can remember working in Elizabeth Street. We had to close the door and all the lights came on, and it was just shocking.
Oh, it was sad.
I was on the Sunshine Coast looking at all you poor people on TV.
Oh, right.
In the bright sunshine and blue skies.
You can imagine what all that loss of soil did, because that was their growing soil. It came from the growing area where they grew the wheat and the and stuff. You know, they just lifted to topsoil.
It saved being sent over to New Zealand like it usually
does. Billions of tons of topsoil that finished up in the Bass Strait.
In its favour, though, my white Subaru turned brown.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a clue.
Quite colourful when
you
I came home.
You always wanted a brown Subaru, didn't you?
Well, variety.
Spice of life.
Who are we going to hear? Take Me to the Moon.
Well, that's what we were talking about.
LMC. Here on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that with Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Speaking of technology, we just lost our song.
No, we didn't.
Didn't we?
We just stopped listening to it.
We just stopped listening to it. Okay, Chris is madly trying to find it.
Well, we'll just talk about what we were going to talk about.
What were we going to talk about? We're going to talk about Walkman.
Yes.
And you know all about Walkman.
Well, we were actually, before we got onto the Walkman, we're going to talk about NASA.
Oh, NASA. Yes, that's
because
right.
Because without NASA going to the moon, yes, we wouldn't have a Walkman.
We wouldn't have all sorts of things because we wouldn't have Velcro tape. We wouldn't have Teflon. We wouldn't
and
have anything.
Something that I came back from America with on my first trip was you had to declare food at customs in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I said, well, I've got some maple syrup and some ice cream.
All right.
And they didn't ask me about the maple syrup, but they did ask me about the ice cream.
Oh, right.
At NASA in Houston, and I guess in Florida as well, you can buy these little foil packs of freeze-dried, dehydrated ice cream.
How do you reconstitute it?
You just put it in your mouth, and it's like honeycomb in consistency,
yeah,
but it melts into warm Neapolitan ice cream in your mouth.
Good
and
God.
It's allegedly what the astronauts took into space for their ice cream.
Oh, good. Oh, well, that's very interesting.
It's too bad it's warm, but anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the comforts of home.
Yeah, very good.
But NASA needed a recording device for the astronauts that could survive the takeoff G-forces and all the various things that go on in space without what they used to call wow and flutter happening. So they developed this little machine.
Yeah.
And it was commercialised a bit later on and became the Walkman.
Which was turned into be the greatest invention of the 20th century on a programme I watched about inventions.
And, well, it's been to the moon.
Well, yeah, and it, because it gave people their own space in crowded places
not,
like
not Tokyo. Space like moon.
No, but they would wear them in trains. It was very popular. They were popular in Japan, of course, because of the huge populations. And they could be in there and they could just do the... they could be listening to exactly what they wanted to be listening to rather than having to worry about what people were...
Well, it was what people in 1970s did to simulate an iPod.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And then we had no idea the iPod was coming.
Now we have that where you can have so much music stored on one little device and then just put your earplugs in and away you go.
But you could take your cassette from home,
put
it in your Walkman and listen to a whole side and it would flip over to the other side for you.
Oh, right.
It was a wonderful piece of technology.
I never had one. I never had one, I must admit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
Don't feel sad for me. It was fine. I was quite easy to get away without it.
Melbourne's most uplifting station, Joy 94.9.
With Gordon, Phil and Chris, been there, done that as a show. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Yep.
And we are lovable.
Like are we lovable? The little cat across the road from me is lovable. He's my new friend.
Little pussycat.
I go out to pick up the newspaper and he's sitting on his little throne. And he runs across the road, beating the traffic, just to come say hello, good morning to me. I presume that he's already been fed breakfast because he always has an extra little course at my place.
Oh, you've got a permanent visitor there. We just had a message from Michael. He said, hi, big hello from Pumpkin and Boris hanging off your... every word. Cheers.
Oh, thank you indeed, Michael. That's terrific. And woof to Boris and to Natasha, better known as Pumpkin. They're the two little dogs that I have been babysitting on occasion.
Oh, right,
But their daddies have gone across to New Zealand for a holiday, a couple of weeks' holiday, so Michael is house-sitting and dog-sitting.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Well, he would have been over there for the Waitangi Day celebrations, obviously, which was last Friday.
Oh, yes, they would have been there. That's right.
Yeah, because that's the big day in New Zealand was last Friday.
So when you're looking after Boris and Natasha,
yes,
do they chase up the moose and squirrel?
Oh,
because
no.
Because they're the spies from the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. And they're really quite evil.
You are full of such trivia.
Say that again.
I'm often told that I'm full of that.
We should have him at a table when we're doing a trivia quiz and they start asking these questions about television shows and everything. He would be the perfect man to have.
Well, I was one of five kids. I was brought up by TV.
Oh, were you?
Sit in the corner.
Sit in the corner and watch telly while mum did work. Yeah.
Okay, so Boris and...
Boris and Natasha.
Yes.
They're not necessarily Russian spies, but they had Russian accents, and they probably came from Russia, but we can't really say that today.
Oh.
Although we probably can now, can't we?
Yeah,
anyway,
I think so.
And Rocky is a flying squirrel.
Yes.
And Bullwinkle is a moose.
Yes.
And they're best friends.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
And they probably lived together quite innocently back in the 60s.
Oh, I'll tell you what, wonder some of the Christian right haven't got onto them, probably say they're gay or something.
They're too busy working with Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah. That's true too.
Well, these two little dogs were acquired from the home.
Oh, lovely.
From the dog's home or one of the other places, yeah. RSPCA.
It's like my Eddie.
And they had been chipped and given a nice short haircut and had all their shots and everything. And the names they came with were Natasha and Boris. So it could have been that some person at the dog place
do they
gave
look
them
evil?
Names.
Do they,
oh,
do they have an evil
stop
laugh?
Stop it. They
You're
have,
talking to their uncle.
Yes, I know. But so if it was the father, then he wouldn't tell us the truth.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Now, listen here. Kodak,
get back to serious.
Kodak was one of the employers in Brunswick.
That's right. They had a huge Melbourne. Factory in Brunswick.
They did.
An enormous factory
and
in Brunswick.
And what did they produce there? Were they, packaged film?
I know they developed your slides or your films. You had to send them over there. That's where you went to the chemist and gave them your film.
Prepaid post pack as well.
Yeah, out of the little roll out of your camera, and you took it. That would go to Brunswick and get it printed.
That's back in the old days before the chemist used to have his own setup.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but nowadays that's what you had to do, and it always went to Brunswick. I had a friend that worked at Kodak over there actually.
Yeah,
and she was one of the last sort of people to leave when they closed the factory. She was one of the.
And about what time of the year or century was that?
I can't remember. 90s? It was back in the 90s when they closed it. Yeah.
Last
we should explain though that people used to take photos with a camera using chemically exposed film.
Film, that's right.
And you'd send your film away and see what develops.
Yeah, that was the great part of doing that, because you'd take a photo and you never knew what... you hoped you'd taken a good one through the viewfinder and all the rest of it. And it wasn't until you got your prints back that you realised that, oh, damn, I've double exposed it or something or
but
other.
These were literally the good old days, because you could develop film at home.
Well, you could have done.
It was quite a hobby.
Yeah, because they had special canisters with the chemicals in and you put it in.
Yep,
and
I used to do a bit in high school.
Did you?
And loved it.
Oh.
But I wasn't very creative with the camera, so the pictures were a bit boring.
Oh.
But the most beneficial or the most luckiest people in the world during that time of photography were princesses.
Princesses?
Princesses.
Why?
Because they could sit outside Kodak and sing to themselves, "Someday my prince will come."
Phil, you just had an opportunity.
On board today, aren't you?
You opened a door, I walked through it.
That's what the princess did.
Now, of course, the reason that Kodak is in our thoughts at the moment is because on the 9th of February 2012, Kodak decided to actually get out of the successor to film cameras.
Digital cameras.
And they got out of digital cameras.
Why? You would never know, would you?
No. Well, I suppose just that lots of other companies were doing it better.
Well, I guess by the time the camera appeared in your telephone, Kodak really had nowhere to go.
Unless they couldn't have developed one of those phony things that you could take cameras with
phony.
A camera.
Those phony things.
Those phony things.
I'd rather have a real one. But see, Polaroid went the same way.
Yes, that's right.
And I still think, there is now a digital Polaroid, I believe.
There is. I was reading about Polaroid making a comeback. They are coming back, the Polaroid camera, so you can get them instantly.
There's a certain romance.
Yeah.
And, yes, I won't say anything else about Polaroid cameras.
One of the what's-name used to use that, Robert Mapplethorpe, only ever used a Polaroid camera.
And
Polaroid
we know
camera.
Why.
Oh, well, yeah. But
didn't want to get caught with the negatives.
He couldn't take the negatives of what he was making to the printer. They wouldn't have wouldn't have printed them for him.
Moving right along. We have...
North Coburg was Kodak, not Brunswick.
Oh, very good.
Yes,
thank you very much
for that.
Thank you.
You'll
never stop loving me, says Sonia.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9.
Are
Thanks
we pumping
being...
the jams?
Oh, I don't know what that means.
I don't either. You get strawberry?
Oh, hopefully.
Ooh,
especially
into
donuts.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Almost better than... Oh, no, that is donuts. That's what... Homer says, donuts.
You two are impossible.
We're just waving the flag.
Now, there's a thought.
I was thinking about waving. I was just going to mention something about waving the flag. You know how we had Midsummer a couple of weekends ago?
Yes.
And it was reported widely in the paper. I didn't read anything about the St Kilda Festival in the paper today.
Oh.
Not one little thing.
There was lots of people there.
I know.
You couldn't hardly move through the place.
There was almost a traffic jam at
jam. There you go.
It was almost a traffic jam at the junction because people were trying to do a right-hand turn and they couldn't.
Turning to the right. I don't know that a lot of people want to turn to the right. Thank you.
Oh, well, there's a few people did today in Canberra.
Yeah, well, for the time being.
Anyhow, waving flags. You're going to wave the flag somewhere, weren't we?
On the 15th of February 1876, in New South Wales, the state of New South Wales adopted a flag, and it included in the corner the Union Jack or the Union flag, there was all the blank space left, and so they put a shield in there.
Can I tell you when the only time you call the Union Jack a Jack?
When?
When it's on a ship.
All right.
Becomes the Jack when it's on a ship. It's the Union flag. It's not the Union Jack when it's flown normally.
No, okay then.
So there you go. That's just a little bit of tiddly bits, but yeah.
Now I've got to forget some other fact to fit that one into my brain.
Don't worry. The brain does that automatically.
Like a computer.
I had to click this button and it's like a counter.
No.
Registers that thought.
You haven't got a delete button in your brain.
Oh, I reckon I do.
Anyhow, back to flags. New South Wales flag, of course, is a blue flag with the Union flag in the corner and a badge in the middle of the large part on the right-hand side, if you're looking at it with the thing. And it's got a rampant lion and the cross of St George on a white background.
What's rampant mean?
Meaning it's sort of
standing
running forward,
its two hind legs or something like that. Okay, then. Well, I mean, that's very nice. And I think Victoria's got much the same, a badge on the Victorian flag.
Did these all come from the Lost Flags Home?
They must have.
Because it was adopted in 1876.
Oh, right. Okay.
Poor little flags walking around the streets with no parents.
No parents. Yes. Oh. It's pretty
and now hard, we take a moment and stick them up a pole. There's got to be something wrong with this picture.
Yes, I think it is. But it's interesting that whilst the states of Australia have got their own sort of flags, Fiji has got one that almost looks like an Australian flag too, because it's got the Union flag in the corner, and then it's got a badge in the middle of the blue colour.
But it's only pale blue.
It's not blue, that's right.
Not dark blue like ours.
So I thought it was faded.
No.
It's a
because it had the sun all the time
but,
over
there. But the Fijian Prime Minister, Frank Bainimarama,
Bananarama.
Yes, has announced his nation will change its flag and dispense with its colonial symbols, making it more relevant to every Fijian.
Yes.
Well, so I wonder what they're going to end up with.
I don't know what they could do.
A maple leaf.
No, I would say.
No.
It works really well for Canada.
I would say several palm trees, perhaps.
Oh, I think already been done.
Cross palm trees.
A bit jingoistic.
Oh, dear. Yes, so they're going to have a little competition, I imagine. But New Zealand is likewise looking at what they can do with their flag, which has got the Union flag in the corner.
And they have the Southern Cross without the Federation star that we have, but their stars are red with a white edging around them, and it makes it very almost indistinguishable for Australia. And Bob Hawke was very, very annoyed one time when he was being taken overseas and presented with a New Zealand flag because they thought it was the same as ours.
Oh.
And John Keyes, the Premier of New South Wales, is actually wants to have a silver fern leaf on the black background, which is basically what they have for their rugby side as their motto, as their symbol on their T-shirt.
What we should do to upset the Kiwis is to have a flightless waterfowl on our flag.
Oh, no.
Not call it a kiwi. Just a little flightless waterfowl.
But see, the New Zealanders have actually, with their sporting teams, adopted a very good symbol of New Zealand, which is known around the world already.
The fern.
Exactly, the silver fern on a black.
And that's what John Keyes wants. That's his preferred. I think I were going to be great because everybody recognises it straight away as New Zealand.
But you see, the sporting connection introduced it to the world.
Yeah.
And if Australia turned around and just decided to have, say, Uluru on the flag, no one would know what really.
If you had to have it from a sporting, from a thing, you'd have to have a beer can on it.
Yeah.
And the boxing kangaroo.
And the boxing kangaroo.
But that's the thing. The kangaroo is almost exclusive to Australia, so that would probably end up being our typical emblem. So then what do you do? Oh, green and gold with a kangaroo? Yeah, yeah. But it's already been invented.
It's going to be... It's
Change ours.
Well, see, I like the way that Canada changed theirs. They just had a meeting in Parliament and said, this is the new flag. Bang. No referendum, no nothing. What? This is the new flag.
What?
It's going
to be captain's call.
Captain's call.
I'll hear that one more time this week.
And that's what they did. They didn't have a referendum or anything. Anyhow,
yeah, but they got a really pretty maple leaf.
Yeah, but
nobody could say, "Oh, I hate that."
Yeah, but and you recognise Canada straight away as the maple leaf. Yeah,
but if we change our flag to have a kangaroo on it, we should change our national anthem to be the theme from Skippy. The bush kangaroo
from Skippy.
There he is. What's the matter,
well,
Skip?
I've got a message here that's quite interesting too. It's from Blair, and he says, "You do not need to print your signature." We're getting back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the program. Anymore, you just press the signature tab on your Outlook. Lots of love. Also, I am enjoying your show on my Sony Walkman that is approximately 23 years old and has a tape deck. That's exactly what you were talking about, Chris.
Wow.
And I am enjoying your show.
Translated to Sony Walkman.
Thank you very much, Blair. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, so they must have been great machines after 23 years of still going.
Oh, they don't build them like that anymore.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
But you can't slip it into your wallet either,
Back to flags, of course.
Hawaii has the
union flag in the corner.
Yeah.
And
it's a cheeky reference, though. It's not.
Oh, no, it's
they don't worship the English.
Phil, please explain.
It's there as a part of their history because they were a British colony before they became the 50th state.
That's right.
And got Hawaii 5-0 as their police force.
And Captain Cook was there, and he actually got killed, didn't he?
Well, eaten, to be more specific.
What?
He became a sandwich of the Sandwich Islands.
Yes, because it wasn't called Hawaii, it was the Sandwich Islands, named after Earl Sandwich, who invented the sandwich.
And he obviously did something to upset the locals, because they ate him up.
Well, they stabbed him, actually. They speared him, didn't they?
Yeah. Whoa.
And I've been diving in the little cove where there's a monument to his exit.
But, of course, when you're talking about Captain Cook, you have to get to Joseph Banks, who's having a birthday this week as well. And every about 200 different varieties of Banksia are named after him.
Well, see, that's the difference between us. You think of Banks. I was thinking of sandwiches. To go from Captain Cook. You want to go to the bank? I want something to eat.
And, of course, Bankstown is named after him. And there's another place, Banks something or other in New South Wales, named after him as well.
Yeah. Well, they grabbed all those Banks names to go with.
But the Banks were in Mary Poppins, weren't they? Wasn't that the family name?
Mary Poppins, yes. I think it was the Banks, yeah.
Who else has been having a birthday around about this time?
Well, there's been a few. Franco Zeffirelli to start with.
Oh, yes. Well, he's still with us, of course. Yep. He's the Italian film director. Yep. And but once again, he's a gay person, gay man.
Yep.
But he
never
from that generation, he actually preferred to be discreet about his personal life. And
he didn't like to be called gay. He liked to be called homosexual because it had more class to it.
Mm. But he adopted two adult sons, men he had worked with for years and who now live with him and manage his affairs. Well, I mean, that's family, if ever there was one. And, of course, the local Roman Catholic Church, of course, would have been up in arms about him producing films presenting himself like that.
No. He presented some of them, put the church in a pretty bad light in lots of his films.
Mm.
But he's a great director.
Indeed. Robbie Williams, 13th of February, later on this week. Yep. 1974 he was born, and he was part of the Take That boy band.
And then Graham Kennedy. Wonderful Graham Kennedy.
Oh, yes. Mark.
Yeah, the crow call that got him taken off the air. Yeah. He was born on the 15th of February.
Yes.
Coming up next week.
But a couple of those people, like Robbie and Graham Kennedy, Robbie Williams, they had problems that were brought on by their own celebrity. Famerosity.
Their celebrity.
That's right, their celebrity status. They,
Robbie Williams found it very hard to handle the fact that he said he was 50% gay sometimes.
Yeah.
That was one of his statements.
He says, I'm 49% homosexual and sometimes as far as 50%.
So it's 50%, that's right, yes. I knew we'd made a reference about 50.
But Robbie Williams had problems with the notoriety, the exposure, public exposure, and he get into Xanax and Paxil and all sorts
of other drugs.
And energy drink Lucozade.
Yes, I know. Yeah, but and he was fortunate that Elton John looked after him, got him into rehab and all the rest of it in America, so he came out of it. But he was a bit of a wild boy, was Robbie Williams.
He was. Mm. And yes, it's a bit sad in some ways.
He's a nice lad now.
Oh, yes, he's happily married with two children.
Yeah.
Coming along nicely.
Yes. his children must be two or three now, would they be? They'd be 2 or 3 years old.
I don't probably read his diary. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I don't have any record of their dates.
I know he and David Furnish are parents to...
Oh, sorry, Elton.
That's
Elton.
Oh, yeah. He and David Furnish are... That's what I was saying. He's got two children.
It's all right, dear. It's all right. I'll
take the medication. Everything will be all right.
And they were adopted with the flags.
That's right, yes.
Well, thanks very much for being with us. We've had fun. We hope you've enjoyed our little show, our little radio show.
And if we made any sense at all, we're sorry.
Time for us to go. And thanks, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you for all your messages and all the rest of it. And we'll see you next week.
And that's what we like to do here on our program, Been There, Done That. Yep. So hopefully if you've enjoyed this, you'll listen to us again next time. Or if you listen to this as a podcast, you'll be able to look and examine what else we've got on the podcast list.
Yes. And just to scare our podcast listeners, we're inside your iPod now.
Ooh,
can't get out.
Spooky. Spooky, as somebody would say.
See you next time.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.